want to share with you a story. Let God write the story. That's how the article about the North Atlanta Church of Christ began, as they were featured in the recent Christian Chronicle. The North Atlanta Church of Christ in Atlanta, Georgia, received from an anonymous donor $1.5 million to be, quote, divided among all present that Sunday, from first graders up, and to spend on good works in the Lord's name. But please, Don McLaughlin, preacher at North Atlanta, asked, no Facebook posts, no Twitter messages, no mass emails about the news. He said, we recognize that God was the one guiding every step of the process up to that point, and the story was just getting better and better. It seemed to us that at such a critical moment in the development of the story, we should wait on the Lord to show us what He would do. The reason we're willing to share it now is because we're able to tell some of the wonderful things that God is doing. Before turning the money over to the members, they did a 40-day study called Open Eyes, Open Hearts, Open Hands. McLaughlin taught on the parable of the Good Samaritan and urged members to see themselves not as the Good Samaritan, but as the innkeeper entrusted with someone else's money to help a person in need. The elders decided to give everyone vouchers instead of cash. This way, no one could use the money for improper reasons. And members could decide how to spend the money, and the church would take care of the actual financial transaction. So adults were given $1,250 in vouchers. High school students received $500, middle school students received $100, and elementary students received $50. What happened? Here's chapter one of the story. Brent Adams, 28 years old, a member of the church in Winter Gardens, Florida, was paralyzed and nearly killed in a dirt bike accident 2 years ago. He met members from North Atlanta while in treatment at the Shepherd Center in Atlanta, Georgia. They called to ask Adams if he needed any help with bills. He thanked them but said he was doing well. The next day, a $4,000 medical bill arrived in the mail. He called him back and they were able to help. Incidentally, Brent Adams reached out to my sister-in-law, Christy, while she was at the Shepherd Center as well. They weren't there at the same time, but through Facebook, and he encouraged her to keep up the hope. Brent Adams now walks today with the aid of a walker, and that is wonderful news. Chapter 2 of the story. Don McLaughlin, preacher at North Atlanta, spoke at Lipscomb University's summer lecture program. After sitting down from speaking, he saw his name on the screen as a speaker at the teen gathering later that night. The Chronicle writes, unprepared and unsure of what to say, McLaughlin orchestrated an impromptu discussion on tackling world problems. Four girls from an El Cajon, California church described the poverty they witnessed on a mission trip to the City of Children in Ensenada, Mexico. Touched by the girls' experience, fellow teens agreed that they wanted to help the orphanage. McLaughlin told them, well, then get in your purses and your pockets and put your money on the table. The amount given? $40. He told them this amount could go such a long way in a third world country. And students returned to their rooms and came back later that night and brought more money. By the end of the night, the amount given was over $100. But it didn't stop there. The next morning, the students made an appeal to an assembly of adults at the program. By the time the lectureship ended, over $4,000 had been raised. McLaughlin returned home and shared that story with his congregation. The following Sunday, they gave members an opportunity at North Atlanta to give to this effort at the conclusion of the service. They raised funds for orphanages in Kazakhstan, Mexico, Nigeria, and Ukraine. The amount given? $46,000. That's what happens when God writes the story. As I read this article, I couldn't help but think, why don't so many of us allow God to write the story in our lives? I mean, what wonderful things God has done, not only through this congregation, but in using those people to do so many wonderful things. Why don't many more of us allow God to write the story in our lives? Well, I've come up with two reasons, and there could be many more listed, but two main reasons why many of us don't allow God to write the story in our lives. Number one, control. We want to write our own stories. We want to be in charge. We have our own dreams. We have our own desires. I mean, we know, right? We want to make it fun and enjoyable. We want to do the things that we want to do. We want to be in control. We want to be independent. Well, number two is fear. Fear to put the pen down. Fear of what may happen. Fear that we may truly change. Fear that we may have to let go of some things we're not ready to let go of yet. Fear of what others may think about us if God is writing the story of our lives. Fear of finally seeing who I truly am and how incompetent and incapable I am of providing for myself and instead of relying on God. Control and fear. But let's dream for just a minute. If for just 1 week we allow God to write the story for our lives completely, totally dependent on Him, how would that week be different? How would we be changed? And would we, in fact, be changed? Well, as I thought about this, I thought of three reasons why how our lives would be changed. And once again, certainly many more reasons could be listed, but here's three of them this morning. Number one, we would be less stressful. Now, how many of you this morning, on a show of hands, would love to live a less stressful life? Anybody stressed out this morning? Anybody got too much on your mind that you're worried about that's holding you back from focusing fully on the Lord this morning? You got your mind on next week and the projects that are going to come with it and all of the work that's going to have to be done. And we get so focused on these things and we stress out over the things that we have little to no control over. Why do we stress it? Because of our need for control and our fear of letting those things go. But if we allowed God to write the story in our lives, then we would trust in His grace and His power to take care of everything and to work it out according to His plan. Now remember, this is the same God who created the world with a spoken word. This is the same God who delivered His people from Egyptian bondage. This is the same God who delivered Daniel from the lion's den. This is the same God who calmed the Sea of Galilee. This is the same God who allowed His Son to die on the cross for you so that one day you could be forgiven and be redeemed. This is the same God who lives and breathes and works in our world today. This is the same God who has kept this earth in motion since the beginning of time. Don't you think He can handle writing the story of your life? I want you to remember a verse this morning. Some of you may know this verse, Romans 8:28. This is one you need to highlight in your Bible, commit to memory. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. If we allowed God to write the story even for just a week of our lives, boy, how less stressful we would be. Well, number two, if we did that and we allowed God to write that story in our lives, we would find ourselves more purposeful people. We don't know exactly why we've been placed here in Mobile, Alabama, in the particular job that you find yourself or in the particular school that you find yourself, but you can know this, that if God is writing the story in your life, then He's placed you there for one of two reasons, either to influence someone for Christ or to be influenced by someone for Christ, that He's opening those doors of opportunity to reach out to someone or to have your life changed by someone else, that He is calling for you to glorify God in everything that you do, that if God is writing the story in your life, that you find yourself more purposeful because you know that your mission here is to glorify God wherever He takes you. Proverbs 16 and verse 9 says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." Jeremiah 29 verses 11 through 13 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. And if you look for me in earnest, you will find me when you seek me." I want you to know this morning that God has a plan for you, that His plan is far greater than any plan that you could come up with, that His plan is to bless you and to use you as His instrument. His plan is to give you a future and a hope. His plan is to do good, but they are His plans. And following His plans sometimes means letting go of our plans and some of our desires and some of our wants. And allowing God to use us for His purposes may make us a little uncomfortable. It may take us places that we're not crazy about. But remember that God is molding us into a beautiful creation. God is molding us into the image of His Son. And if we allowed God to write the story in our lives, even for just a week, we would find ourselves more purposeful people. Well, thirdly, and finally this morning, if we allowed God to write the story in our lives, we would have greater vision I'm not talking about literal physical vision. If God's writing the story in your life, that's not going to get rid of your glasses. That's not going to give you 20/20 vision, but it will improve your spiritual vision, that you will finally see people the way that God sees them. You will see the needs that they have. You will see the holes that are in their hearts. You will see the brokenness. You will see the lost and the distraught that comes with life. If we allow God to write the story in our lives, we would be able to be more alert to the needs of others, looking for more opportunities to serve others. But we're not looking for those opportunities to serve others for our glory, but so that God would be glorified. You remember Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." The purpose of our serving is not to glorify us. It's not to make us look better, but it's so people will see those good deeds and ultimately glorify God with their lives and one day seek to follow after Him. You know, there are so many needs today. In current day America, across cities of this nation, there are so many financial needs. So many folks who are battling unemployment. So many folks who are battling finances. So many folks who are struggling to make it. And it may be that God is calling you to help someone financially. You know, there's so many emotional needs, so many people dealing with mental diseases, so many people dealing with hurt and brokenness. A lot of people hurting in this world. A lot of people have been let down. Maybe God is calling you today to help someone emotionally, to build them up, to pick them up. So many people being torn down by the media and by other supposed friends. You know, there's so many family needs these days. Boy, the family has really come under attack. Not only the pure definition of what a nuclear family is and what in the way that God designed the family of a father and mother and of the children, but the relationships between husbands and wives have been challenged. The relationships between parents and children and grandparents and grandchildren have been challenged. The closeness of the family, of the context of the entire family, of the extended family has been challenged. There's become this disconnect between the adult world and the adolescent world. And there are so many family needs today. Maybe God is calling us to strengthen our families and to reach out and bring our families closer to Christ. Maybe God is calling us to reach out and offer help and encouragement to someone who is struggling with the marriage relationship, or some of you who have been there and done that and have raised kids. God is calling you to use that wisdom to help parents to encourage them that this time will pass. Not giving some perfect formula as to how to raise children, but just offering encouragement to keep going and keep standing for the truth and keep praying. That God is calling you, regardless of whether you have children or not, to make a relationship with a child and to reach out to them so that they know that they have other adults in their lives who care for them and who are invested. That God is calling not only the immediate family, but the church family to rally around one another. And let's build up one another and help one another get a little bit closer to heaven. Certainly in this world there are spiritual needs. So many people searching for the truth but can't seem to find it. You know, this teenage generation that we see has been defined as one of the most spiritual generations yet. A lot of them searching for the truth, wanting to know, does God really exist? Is He really who He says He is? That I can't see Him and I can't put my hands on Him, and that's what I've been taught all my life, to grab hold of something. And it's totally against everything that we know. But boy, the opportunities that are there with our young people to show them what a true, solid faith is. There are so many spiritual needs in the adult world. So many folks who have just been mistaken in their knowledge of the truth. So many people wanting to know the truth. And you remember what Jesus said, that it's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that sanctifies us. It's the truth that brings true joy in our life. Maybe God is calling one of you today to reach out to someone, to offer that truth, to help someone with that spiritual need. As Christians, we are called to minister, every one of us. We're called to meet the needs of others and to serve. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20 says, "We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. We urge you, as though Christ Himself were pleading with you, be reconciled to God. That's our job. Our job is to represent Jesus here on this earth. We are His ambassadors. We have been placed here in Alabama, in the city of Mobile, in your certain job or your certain school, and in your particular family to represent Jesus, to be His ambassador, to live like Jesus would live like He would, to see like Jesus would, to love like Jesus would love, to recognize the needs of others and do exactly what Christ would do. But if we're not letting God write the story in our lives, then we won't be aware of the needs of others. We'll be so focused on ourselves that because we're afraid to let go and to let God write the story. But if we let Him write the story, oh, we will be able to look for more opportunities to reach out to others. This morning, I don't have $1.5 million to give you. I wish I did. And if that was God's will, boy, that would be phenomenal, wouldn't it? But here's the thing. We don't need $1.5 million to impact our community. All we need is to allow God write the story in each and every one of our lives. And by doing so, it will make such a difference and such an impact on our community. Then number one, we'll find ourselves less stressful people, and you better believe that others will take notice of that. Why aren't you worried about this? Because God is in control. Well, how can you just let God take care of that? I mean, that's monumental. That is life-changing. Oh, I know. And I'm trusting that God's going to take care of it. Remember, God's the one that's taking care of everything going on around this world, that He's the one that's going to work everything out for ultimate good. People will notice that type of attitude. People will notice the optimism, the positivity. We allow God to write the story in our lives, we'll find ourselves more purposeful people, living more to glorify God and less to glorify us. And certainly people will take notice of that, and in result, they will begin to glorify God as well. And if we allow God to write the story in our lives, we will have greater spiritual vision and be able to meet the needs of so many other people, and certainly that will impact and change this community. Remember that we are Christ's ambassadors placed here on this earth to show others the love of Christ and to preach that message of reconciliation. With that message of reconciliation, this morning you can have a right relationship with God. You can let go of the things that are holding you back from serving the Lord, and you can begin today to allow God to write the story in your life. How do you do that? Oh, it's so simple. God, in His infinite wisdom, allowed His Son to live on this earth, to be crucified on a cross, and to be raised the third day by the power of God. With that, Jesus bought with His blood all of those who had been taken captive by sin. Romans 3:23 says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But verse 24, we are justified freely by His grace. How can you be made right with God? You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You repent of the sins that are in your life. You confess His sweet name and your belief in His name. And you be baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away. That's the exact message that Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, just weeks after the Lord had died and gone back into heaven. The first gospel sermon ever preached concluded with this statement: let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did they do it? You better believe it. Over 3,000 of them. And verse 47 of Acts 2 says that day they were added to the church, daily those who were being saved. It's that simple. This morning, if you are a Christian but you struggle with allowing God to write the story in your life, you've struggled with putting the pen down and turning it over to God, and you've taken too much control and that fear has overwhelmed you, and you want to live a less stressful life, you want to find your purpose in life, you want to be more aware of the needs of others, let Him write it. Let it go. It's a struggle for each and every one of us day by day. Let's put it down. Let's let God do what He wants to do with us. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, whether you want to be baptized into Christ or you need the prayers of this congregation to be strengthened in your faith and to be restored, won't you come now as we stand and sing?